Peter Richens, Realto.
So we went all that way. Realto, we had a series of briefings. There was quite a bit of enemy activity, air activity. We had ships going down. We just wanted to do something. We felt that we were kind of chickens in a coop, and we were sitting targets. We lost all confidence in our rapier capability and our blowpipe. They weren't doing the jobs that we all thought that they would be doing. So we just needed to get out and start doing our job. The first letdown for us that we did have briefings, timings, we moved down to assembly point, can move to Goose Green. We vacated our company area, only to find when we got down there it was all off and we had to go back again, which there was a big dip in the morale again. But a day or so later it was on again, the morale went back up again, and off we went on the approach march to the area of Goose Green.
Can we now go through the battle step by step in detail as you personally remember it, please?
We done our approach march, again, the big battalion snake, to our assembly area. Can we start with Kate? We done our approach march to Camilla Creek House, where we went firm. We had the coldest night that we ever or anybody has ever suffered. We went in our belt order on our weapons. Our backpacks were left behind. We had to keep undercover, and our whole company was in and around a garage in the Land Rover. And I think we broke the world record for having as many people in as a Land Rover as you could we could get in. The next day we had our final briefings for our assault on to Darwin and Goose Green. It was to be a six phase attack, night attack, and it was emphasized that it had to be a night attack and everything had to be done and dusted by first light. We done our subunit briefings. Towards the end of the day, one of our operators, radio operators, was tuning through the channels to find the World Service, which we done quite frequently to update on world news and home news, to be horrified to hear the Defence Secretary, John Knott, saying in Parliament and over the World Service that British paratroopers were 5 miles from Goose Green. Now, if we heard that, the rest of the world heard that, and I'm sure the Argentinians heard that, which that spread through the battalion like wildfire. And again, that don't help anybody's morale. But there, we had to take it on our stride. We went off to the start line, with A Company being the left forward company. My company, B Company, was the right forward company. On our briefings, we were assured that we would get night light and HE from a ship, and I think we were promised a few hundred rounds to soften the target up, and also the artillery were going to give us supporting fire. We had a dozen or so rounds from the ship, and there was a problem with the firing mechanism, the springs, and we didn't get what we wanted. We had two mortar base plates in our support, and we didn't get the artillery support we had. So at the end of the day, when we crossed the start line, Two Para was on our own, and the fire support and the firepower was actually what the battalion could give at that time. We were also assured that we would have Harrier support, but again, it was very rough at sea, so we didn't have the air support that we were promised. We were on the start line for an hour or so. Now, on exercises, battalion exercises, where you lay on start lines, and it's a little bit of a blasé thing where you lie there, we know it's blank ammunition, and off we go, we do our attack. But there was a little bit of that within the company, and it is, as my position of company sergeant major, I did have to go around and speak to the platoon sergeants to remind them this is not an exercise, this is a real thing. We had our orders to move. We went off. A target appeared to our front. Unfortunately, it was a scarecrow. I think the scarecrow had quite a few rounds put in it, which relieved a bit of jumpiness with the lead sections. We came across our first trenches, where we took those sections out, and it was a very difficult, very, very slow. Now, at night, fighting at night, it's very thorough. You can't take chances. Question has been asked about our particular phase of Goose Green that we didn't take many prisoners. Now, it's very difficult when you're fighting at night to take prisoners. The heat of the battle, there's a lot of firing going on, you're taken trench by trench. Nobody's speaking Spanish, or very little Spanish, other than somebody jumping up, throwing the weapon away. But with the heat of battle, and also pitch black, is very, very difficult situation. Colonel Jones was very keen to get us moving. Now, I was split up from my company commander. He left company headquarters area to just oversee that the lead platoon was not getting any difficulties. Colonel Jones was on to us to get ourselves moving. He was getting very, very annoyed, very impatient that we weren't making the ground that we should be making. And it got to the stage of he said that if we didn't get our asses in gear and get moving, he would pass D Company through us and they would do a better job than us. But in this situation, we just couldn't do it. We could hear that A Company was in a situation and there was a lot of fire come from them. And we just couldn't make the pace that we thought on the briefing. Daylight came, and the terrain of all the Falklands and the area approaching to Goose Green was very flat. Open. It was hills, ditches, no trees, no cover. Now, it was an advance to contact. It was an extended arrowhead formation type of thing, and we just went through and to meet our enemy. But unfortunately, when the light came, B Company, we were caught in the open. First platoon, the two platoons up front, with the company headquarters in between, and in reserve with our third platoon with the reserve company headquarters. Now, as we're going down this forward slope, we were opened up by the enemy, which were in very, very well prepared trenches. We had to double forward into this gully, which we were kind of rats in a hole, and our reserve element had to go back up the hill, up the slope, and go firm on the top. So in fact, the company was split. Nothing we could do about it. We were there's a lot of fire from the enemy to us, and we went firm in the gully, and there's not. We just had to go firm there. They had snipers, which kept us from doing what we wanted to do. It got to a stage that we did send a section from one of the platoons out, but they had to be brought back, and we must have been in there for something like about 6 hours. The company commander urged the battalion 2IC to get Milan to assist us for the Milan to be brought in as a bunker busting role. Also, we heard the tragic news that Colonel Jones was killed. That only was not put around the company at that time. Major Keeble took command of the battalion and gave the command of the battalion to Major Crossan for a short time, because at that time TAC 2 was some distance away from the ensuing battle, so we had to spend some time actually coming forward. The Milan was eventually got to us. We were very short of ammunition. They fired the rounds into the enemy positions, and that was the whole turning point of that particular battle on that stage for us. D Company was passed through us, down through to Bocca House. They went round by the beach, and they were off to do their tasks, and we carried on, sorted ourselves out, and we moved to this side of the airfield. We came under a certain amount of fire from the AAAs that they had as airfield protection on the low elevation, which didn't create a lot of problems for us, but it was quite heavy fire coming on us. We carried on and landed up at the bottom end of the settlement at Goose Green. Again, we were very, very low of ammunition. We went firm, and I took two sections on the scavenging party to find what we could to help with our ammunition resupply. At that time, we saw a lot of Argentinians coming into the settlement, which gave us quite a bit of concern. But at that time, all they wanted to do was put their hands up and surrender themselves to us, which got a bit silly in the end, because with two sections, I just didn't have the facilities to take prisoners. We did hoard them up. We separated the officers, NCOs, and private soldiers. All we could do was break their rifles, take their ammunition off of them, and in the end we just told them to clear off into the settlement, but we just couldn't. Our aim was to get resupply of ammunition for the our own troops, and we just couldn't handle the amount of prisoners. They weren't awkward, they just gave up. Now, they were enemy which were on the outside, they weren't actually in the settlement. we found lying all over the place thousands and thousands of 7.62mm ammunition, which was compatible to our weapons. Their machine gun, the barrels were compatible to our GPMG, and there was food in abundance all over the place. Now we struggled back with thousands of rounds of ammunition to the hill feature that we went firm on. We were all resupplied. On our way back to the company, we thought it started to rain, but when we tasted the rain, because it did smell a little bit on aviation fuel, in fact it was aviation fuel, one of the Pucaras which were given, which came in from Port Stanley, was shot down and fuel was dumped, and there was heavily rumoured that there was napalm. They were carrying napalm, but in the future day we found that to be true, because we found a lot of canisters of napalm. We went back to the company, we resupplied everybody ammunition. Nightfall came, the battalion went firm in around the settlement. At that time we weren't aware, but Colonel Major Keeble sent one of the warrant officers of the Argentinian army that was captured down to give the ultimatum to the commanding officer of Goose Green Settlement to surrender. There, at first light, it came back to say they would surrender. The Harriers did come in, and more of a firepower demonstration than actually bombing the settlement. They dropped a lot of bombs in the sea. I think that was another deciding factor. But what the aim of going to Goose Green was to evacuate the settlement personnel in the village hall. If we went into the settlement and fought house to house, there would have been problems about the survival of the people, the actual settlement people. And again, if we'd done an air attack onto it, again the settlement people would have been killed, and that wasn't the aim of or that wasn't our objective. Once the surrender was taken, it was quite amusing to us that the amount of people in Goose Green. But if I could just go back slightly, before last light of the previous evening, we did hear helicopters coming. Now, that was quite frightening for us, because we were the most southerly group of the battalion. The helicopter was coming in, and we thought it must be a counterattack. In fact, they did offload troops, but it wasn't a counterattack that we would know it. And our other fear was that mortar base plates were coming in, and if mortar base plates came in, again we would have been very vulnerable, and there might have been a different situation to the result of our operation. But going back to the actual surrender itself, it was amusing to us that the Argentinian army came out with the band, lined up in three ranks on the airfield, took off their helmets, laid their weapons down and took the surrender. And we thought, well, here we go, that's that finished. We then hear the band strike up again, and it was the Air Force came out next. And then after that, the Navy. Now we thought there would have been about 1,400 people there, but in fact on a head count it was more like 1,800 people there. Now a force of the battalion strength I think at that time was about 450 people, taken on an amount of an enemy of 1,800. It was quite a feat for us.
Did you see these enemy reinforcements that were landed by the helicopters?
Yes.
Did they just surrender?
No, they went to the settlement, which we thought was rather strange. Again, we tried to put ourselves in their position. If we were doing it, we'd have done it in a different way. We did hear rumours that the helicopters taken off were taken back, some of the senior officers back to Port Stanley. But if that was true or not, that was a rumour control thing.
Any other incidents that happened before you left Goose Green?
We got ourselves sorted out in Goose Green. We're all allocated company positions. Our own company was allocated a ironmonger store and garage and shed, which was quite a big barn, which we all got ourselves in. The colour sergeant acquired 45 empty 45 gallon containers, which we poured water. We got ourselves washed, shaved and cleaned up. The different companies were given tasks to do to clean up the place. It was in a horrifically bad state that the Argentinians left it in. There was a lot of POWs to sort out, and also, which was very disturbing for a lot of the young soldiers, that we had to go back and clear the battlefield. Now, on our own fatalities and casualties, in our briefings, that there was a track leading down the middle of the isthmus into Goose Green and Darwin. Now, all our injured and dead would put on that track, and as the battalion rode on, they were picked up or treated. Now, with the Argentinian dead, they were left where they fell. And different parties were organised to go out to collect the dead. Nobody was buried on the battlefield at all. Now, in the height of battle, when the adrenaline is running, when you see people shot, gory sights, people dying, a lot of mayhem, a lot of noise, a lot of scream, a lot of crying, you just roll on and do your job. But when things settle down and you go back to look for the bodies, and that is very cold, a lot of the bodies were frozen, rigor mortis, and they're not dead as we... When you think of people dead, lying prone, hands across their chest type of thing, it was people were shot, and as they fell, that's the position they were. They had to be picked up. We commandeered some tractors and trailers. The bodies were placed as best we could on the trailers and brought back to the settlement. And there was an area of a field which was turned into, for a better word, a mortuary. And that was quite harrowing for a lot of the young soldiers as well as the older soldiers. The Argentinians protested on where they were kept. They were kept in sheep shearing sheds, which was the only cover that we could allocate to them. But also, with the settlement being so small, there was a lot of stockpile of ammunition. And what their argument was that they shouldn't have been housed so near ammunition. But that went both ways. We were near the ammunition as well, so that didn't hold a lot of water. We used the prisoners, who were very willing to do what we told them to do, for cleaning up, because the houses and the outhouses of where they stayed was absolutely in a disgusting state.
With what?
Rubbish, excrement, just animals. We did find out that how the battalions, the Argentinian battalions, had worked out that instead of having their special forces in special forces unit, when we were searching and documenting the prisoners of war, we found that there was a lot of conscripts, but they interspersed their special forces people in amongst the of their battalions. By checking the weapons, like the conscripts, some of the weapons was in bad order and cleanliness. Their selves weren't very, their own personal hygiene was not as good. But you came across a lot of individuals who were looked that they were special forces. The weapons were very clean. The way the different equipment they had was different than the conscripts. So it did indication to us that they did intersperse their special forces through through their infantry regiments, who was actually at Goose Green.
Earlier on, you said to me that there were two occasions in the Falklands where you got frightened. One was the submarine scare.
Yes.
Was the second one during Goose Green or later?
Yes, it was. When we first took our first contact, I said earlier that the company commander went for a time to look after the platoons. We went firm. That's the radio operator, myself, and the company runner. Now, we were opened up on our group. Now, there was rounds dancing around our feet into the... It could have come from A company, it could have come from the enemy, or it even could have come from D company. Possibly it might have been more D company. I don't hold it against D company, but at night, on night attacks, it's very difficult to hold control. And it was a case of, no, you hide behind me, no, I'm hiding behind you, type of thing. And rounds were coming around feet, not inches, but feet away from us. The thud, 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 thwack, thwack, thwack of rounds actually going into the dirt. But luckily they didn't come any closer. But again, that was quite a frightening experience for me. Now, fright in a situation like that, isolated or incident, but when you've, and the soldiers have got, and the NCOs have got things to think about, fright doesn't really come into the equation. Is when you stop and think, I think that's when you can start thinking that it can be quite frightening.
Anything else to add about Goose Green before we go further?
We did find a ship, a small boat,